Women are powerful and have accomplished great things. Yet, sometimes we suffer from self-doubt, fear, and limiting beliefs. We often believe that we are not good enough. These negative beliefs stop us from achieving our goals. Welcome to Sprinting to Success, a podcast dedicated to women who have experienced struggles, yet found ways to step into their power, their greatness, and learn to embrace challenges. These women will share their stories and give you insights to help you on your path so you can follow your dreams. And now, here's your host, Esme Lawrence.
Welcome. My name is Esme Lawrence, the host of this podcast. My guest today has been teaching and speaking for decades, guiding people to find their inner calm. Throughout her life, she has challenged herself to overcome fear and expand her comfort zone. My guest is Kim McIntyre. Kim, welcome to Sprinting to Success podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Esme?
Oh, I am fantastic. I feel honored that you agreed to be on the podcast with me and so you can share some of your great knowledge.
I am so happy to be here.
Yes. So I want you to go back to when you were a child. What were some of the struggles that you had in your life?
Well, as a little girl, I was extremely shy. I mean, like panic, fearful, shy around people and around strangers. And then when I was 12, I got bit by the theater bug and discovered that I really loved acting and performing in theater, and it really helped me come out of my shell. But I always still had that shyness to overcome over and over and over again, you know. But when I get on stage and they give me a character that I got to play, then I get to be somebody else. And that was actually very therapeutic for me to like embody things that I wouldn't have had the courage to do on my own as myself. So yeah, that was a big part of my life through my teens, through my 20s, into my 30s. So yeah.
Right. So then, so your struggles when you were a little, where you were shy. And then, so as a teenager, what were some of the other struggles that you had in your life?
Well, continuing with that shyness. So when I would go to audition for things, or, you know, I'd have to come up against that over and over again, and the fear around that. And also, my family was not very emotionally based, and I tended to be a sensitive soul and a little more sensitive than perhaps the people around me understood. And it took me a while as I grew up to understand there wasn't something wrong with me, that's just how I was wired and it was different. And so to learn to honor that in myself, that I wasn't actually crazy, you know, that I actually just was a little bit different, a little more, you know, emotional and empathic and sensitive to other people's energies. Yeah.
Right. So tell me, like, give me an example of how it showed up, that shyness as a teenager. How did that show up?
I can remember at one point, well, sometimes people would think because I was so quiet that I was like standoffish or stuck up or something. I remember someone saying that to me. I got brave and I practiced and I auditioned to become the drum major for the marching band. And, you know, yeah, we're directing the band. And I remember people, like someone saying to me, oh, we didn't know you were shy. We just thought you were stuck up, you know? So it would really get in the way of me connecting with friendships sometimes. And, you know, once I got to know somebody, I was very outgoing, but making new friends was always challenging. And then when I went to college, it was like, oh, you know, starting all over again from scratch. Yeah.
Right. And so what are some of your challenges, struggles as an adult?
As an adult?
Yes.
Like recent or ongoing?
Oh, and anytime.
Anytime. Well, what pops right into my head when you said that was, just recently my mom passed away.
Oh.
And really, like, I had to walk my talk with self-care. I had to really make space because I had all these things I was ready to launch. I had a new Facebook group I was launching and I had people signed up for this 5-day challenge and all the videos are done and the emails are done. And I was all ready to go. And my mom passed away the week before, and I had to like call people and cancel and say, you know, I had to be honest and authentic with where I was. It was a challenge about having more fun in your life, and I could not embody that.
Right.
And in the week since, it's been a challenge of just accepting that my brain's a little foggier than usual, that I need a little more downtime than usual, that I need to sit and read a book or have a bath or take a cup of tea and just extra self-care and gentleness with myself.
Right.
So, and you know, she was in her 90s. She lived a wonderful, long, very active life. It was the end came quickly, which was good for her, but an adjustment for us because it just happened all of a sudden.
Right.
But so, you know, in her 90s, you wouldn't think it would be so shocking for me, you know, but it still is. It's still a loss of a parent. So, you know, it's, I feel like I'm coming out of the cloud now, but it comes and goes, the grief. So you just have to make space for it.
Right. Yeah. So Kim, I am sorry for the loss of your mom.
Thank you.
I lost my mom too in 2017, and it was devastating for me. I thought part of my heart was just ripped out of my chest. And, you know, and so,
Of
course, you know, when you think back and her life, and she lived such a, you know, came out of struggle, but lived an amazing life because she was such an amazing lady, you know, and so that loss, that I will never be able to see her or touch her again. That was hard for me.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that struggle, you know, because it still goes on. I miss her every day.
You just like, you have a moment and it's like, oh, right. She's not here.
You know, it's like, because I used to talk to my mom so often. It's like, oh, I'm going to call my mom. Like, oh, she's not here. Yeah. So that kind of, you know, so tell us about stress.
So I got fascinated by stress, realizing I had so much fear and anxiety and I wanted ways to like calm it down. So I just got into it by looking for things that were going to soothe me and take care of me and help me feel calmer. And so stress is, they do say, I heard a quote once that 75 to 90% of doctor's visits are with stress-related things. So I think it's a big thing for a lot of people across the board. And people think, oh, I have to take a whole vacation to let go of stress, or they have to like set aside large amounts of time for things. And really having little stress things that you can do at any given moment to build that and weave that into the fabric of your life is really, really helpful. But first, you even need to be aware that you have stress and what it looks like, because it looks like different things for different people, you know.
Right.
For me, it looks more like fear and anxiety. For somebody else, it might be frustration or anger. You know, it looks different ways for different people, and you have to realize how it is for you and have that awareness, and also see where your mind is at about the stress.
Right.
You know, what kind of thoughts are you thinking about yourself, about other people, about the world? So there's an awareness piece to it, and then there's tools to help you. Because once you get that adrenaline or whatever it is going, you need some things to help you calm back down.
Right.
And if you just live stewing in that adrenaline, that's what makes the negative impact on your health.
Right. So. I love what you said there, Kim, about you have to know that you're stressed.
Yeah.
Because people can go on for years not knowing they're stressed out. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, something's going to give.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, you know, then they realize, oh, I'm stressed out.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so, you know, you said, it's, you know, it's your mind.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to realize that, you know, stress, it comes from the mind, mm-hmm. you know? And so when something happens, you know, it's how you see it, how you look at the world.
Right. You know? What story are you saying about it in your mind?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so tell us about that. Let's say one of your students come to you and say, I'm stressed out in my life. What's the first thing you want to say to them?
Well, first I would probably start with deep breathing as the basic, basic, because so many people have shallow breathing and you can't even get to a solution if you're not grounded, you know? So the solution needs to come from them. It's not necessarily from me in terms of how to deal with a specific situation. What I help people do is to get into the calmer state so they can get more in touch with their own inner knowing about what they need. And so breath is like the beginning. It's the middle. It's the end. It's everything.
That's what you start with.
And so often people are breathing just very shallow. up and just in the top, tippy top of their chest, and don't even understand what it is to have a full deep breath, and with that belly expanding as you inhale and moving inward as you exhale. And so often I teach yoga, and so often, you know, with a new student, I introduce them to the breathing and I'll say, take a deep breath, and they go, and it's all up here, you know, and I have to like teach them how to slow the breath down and deepen it. So it's a very powerful tool that a number of other tools come out of.
Right. Could you give us an example of how would you teach that student to take deep breath?
Sure. So you would take, how I'd have people is I take them, have one hand, place it on the upper chest, and another hand, place it on the belly button area, and take a breath and just notice any movement in their hands. And what you want to look for is you want the belly to be expanding. It doesn't have to be a huge expansion, but just some movement outward as you inhale, because that's making room, you know, the air to go to the bottom of your lungs. Right. And then as you exhale, it moves inward, making room for the next breath. And if the person's only breathing up here, then if somebody's really having a hard time with it, I say, okay, then breathe only up here and see how that feels. And if you breathe only in the upper chest, it's like, there's hardly any air comes in.
Hyperventilating.
It's really hyperventilating. It is stress breath for sure. But if they just slow it down, and even if it's just a little bit, feel that expansion as the belly moves outward with the inhale, it's just so powerful. So I tell people when they come to my yoga class, it's like, if you get nothing else from the class today, but you learn that. And the other thing I have them do is the easiest way to practice it is lying on their back. Because the belly more naturally, if you think about a baby lying on its back, you know, it's naturally, its belly's going up and down with the breath properly. So we were born knowing how to breathe, right?
Right.
And so laying on your back with your hand on your belly and practicing it that way, it's a great thing to do to relax before going to sleep at night. So kind of calms you down from the day.
Right. So what are the other techniques that you teach your students?
Well, one, like in talking about the mindset that we talked about before, notice what kind of questions you're asking yourself. Because if you ask yourself a question, your mind will give you an answer. So if you're asking questions like, what is wrong with me? Or what is wrong with that person? Or why can't I do anything right? Stuff like that. Your mind's going to give you answers. But if you ask questions like, how can I be more centered? Or what's an easier way to get this done? Or if I had a sense of humor right now, what might that look like? You know, so to ask yourself really higher quality questions and make a conscious choice to do that is one very effective tool. Yeah.
Right.
And it takes you out of the stress story. Another way is to just ask yourself, is what I'm thinking true? Because so often it's not. You know, it's an illusion in your mind. It's a thing you've spinning wheel in your head that has nothing to do with what's actually happening in the moment.
Right. Yeah. Just like worry, you know, we worry about so many different things and we worry. And then it turns out that we waste our time worrying because that thing never happened. We're afraid of this and say, oh, this is going to happen to us. This is going to happen to my kid, my children or whatever. And it doesn't happen. So no, we wasted all that time worrying over nothing.
Not just time, life force, energy that's wasted on that. Yeah. And you know, that happens. You catch yourself in the middle of it. You can just, it's almost like you put a stop sign in your head and you just say, stop, you know, stop, take a deep breath. Is any of that true? Right. Can I let that go right now? How's my body reacting to thinking that way? Because usually when we're thinking that way, we don't realize it. Our shoulders are creeping up towards our ears. We got a little tension, different places in the body. And you wonder how come you end up with a headache or a backache or a stomach ache, you know? Yeah.
So how would you teach people who are actually working in a very stressful environment? What would you teach them how to decrease their stress?
Well, I would teach them how to, that's one of the things I do is for people is help them create their own personalized stress relief toolbox so that they can fit stress relief in 5 or 10 minute segments throughout their day. So, you know, let's just take deep breathing because that's one tool I gave you. You can set a little timer to go off once an hour and you take 3 or 4 deep breaths once an hour. And you also get to check in with yourself. How have I been breathing? But yes, you also have to look at the mindset piece, and what journaling is another technique I often give people to do. Because sometimes when you see it, it's spinning in your mind. If you put it on paper and you see it, then you can go through some journaling exercises that challenge those thoughts and help you make a shift to a different type of thinking pattern. Right. So there's different exercises, journaling exercises I often give people to do. But again, it has to be for whatever works for that person. And some people don't like journaling. So, you got to find what's going to work for them. But basically it's self-care. It is making a little space for self-care and knowing that you need it, and knowing proactively what situations stress you out. So let's say, oh, it's my whole work day. But no, if you look at it more carefully, there's probably certain interactions or certain activities you have to do that are more stressful for you than others. And so to know that that's when you need to build in your stress care for your self-care.
I love that.
In those situations. Yeah.
I love that you said that, because the whole day is not stressful. It's just parts of the day that's stressful.
Parts of it.
And so if they can find the parts that's stressful, they can say, okay, when I come into this situation, I'm going to do this.
Right.
Deep breathing. And it's really good to break things down. But I love what you said about journaling.
Yeah.
I journal and I love it.
It's a powerful, powerful thing to do.
It is so powerful, because you look back and you can reflect on what you wrote and say, as you said, is this true or is it not true?
Exactly. Yeah.
We live in a fairy tale world sometimes, right? So is it true or is it not true? And, and then if you are consistent with the journaling, oh, you can see your true self coming out, all your fears.
Right. And you journal it all out, and then you go, well, what else could I think about this situation? And journal that. They say play devil's advocate, play angel's advocate with yourself, and see, what other points of view could possibly be seen differently. How could you look at the situation completely differently? Like if an alien came and landed on this planet, right, and looked at the situation, what might they think? So to just try to find a way to get your mind out of the old pattern and into something different. Yeah.
And breaking a habit and breaking a pattern is so difficult. They say it takes 67 days to break a habit. So how would you
say 21 days, some people say 40 days.
I know, I read a lot of different stats, but I like the 67 because, if you can stick with something for that long, then it becomes a habit,
right,
that you do. Because I know that when I want to, for instance, when I stop exercising and decide I'm going to get back in the gym, and I'll go 21 days. Okay, it doesn't do 22. But if I know if I can go from a couple months, 3 months or so,
right.
I know I've built a habit.
Yes.
And I know that will last me, even as an athlete, I know that it's a habit that, the things that you do every single day, that's going to determine, your patterns.
Right. So, definitely.
But breaking the pattern is tough. So how do you teach people to break the patterns in their life?
Well, let's say if you want to form a new habit. Actually, I got a trick from a book called The Power of Habits. I don't know if you've ever read that book.
I've heard of that book.
It's it talks about what helps people are having a trigger and then a reward at the end. So let's say, for instance, for me, meditation is my self-care habit that I do every morning. And for many years, I was on again, off again with it.
Right.
And then I got with a group where we were all going to do it together. So support is an important key, support or accountability, however you want to call it.
Right.
And so because I was with the group, I really did stick with it every day. And the thing with the group, we decided we're all going to do it first thing in the morning when we wake up. Now you can meditate any kind of day,
right,
any time of day, but there's something about that was the trigger. And I didn't know that at the time. And I looking back and going, that was my trigger. I just get up and I automatically meditate, for 15 minutes. And so for me, the reward wasn't the reward itself was how I felt after I did it, because I did feel like I was starting the day with a fresh slate by meditating then. So for me, the reward was that. So you kind of have to figure out what's your trigger. Is it a time of day? Is it a specific activity, you know, find a trigger, and then what is your reward? And the reward, you know, doesn't necessarily mean a giant hot fudge sundae.
You know, that's kind of good.
That's kind of good, but if you had that as a regular reward, I think it would like
it wouldn't be any good.
Do so. Yeah, so that's one trick, and support is the other one. To like, really, if you have a trouble with a specific habit that you're trying to break or a specific habit that you're trying to do, to find accountability. And they also say that whoever you surround yourself with,
yes,
affects whether or not you can follow through. So right. You want to pick a support team or support person or support coach who's further along in the journey than you are.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because otherwise you just have a friend who's like, oh, that's okay, baby. I didn't do it today either.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Exactly. And you're both going down, not accomplishing your goals,
yeah, exactly,
together, you know? Yeah. So Kim, what's your passion?
What's my passion is,
yes,
making a difference in people's lives. You know, it fuels me, and it fuels me to get through the things that I find are challenging. Yes. If I go, you know, at the other end of this is maybe I'm going to help somebody today, you know? Yes. And just last week I had one of my yoga students come up at the end of class and say, you know, this work is changing my life. And I was like, thank you for sharing that, you know, because I'm just putting the teachings out there, and I don't ever always know if it's landing, yes, or not. So to have that feedback back is great. But even if I don't have that feedback, to just trust, like with this podcast, who knows who's going to hear it, yes, and something that either one of us said made a difference in their day or in their life. That's the beauty of it. And so that's my passion. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And that's why I do this, because the passion to help others.
Yeah.
That statement leads me back to a question. What's your legacy? When you're gone from this world, what is your legacy?
I don't think that's up to me. I think if I have checked in with my inner wisdom and followed my journey and my path, my legacy will be different in different people.
Yes.
You know, it'll be how I impacted people, but that will be different for each individual, I think.
Right.
So that's the legacy of someone remembering to deep breathe, you know, or, yes, you know, something like that. It could be different for each person, but knowing that I made a difference is right. What I would like my legacy to be. Yeah.
So your teaching is your legacy.
yeah, I think so. I think so. I definitely am a teacher first and foremost. And the funny thing is, I come from a family of teachers. And back when I was doing acting, and my dad was like, well, you could teach acting. And I'm like, no, I don't want to teach acting. I don't want to be a teacher. And here I am. I am a teacher. I couldn't deny my genetic legacy.
Exactly. You can run, but you can't hide.
I just ended up teaching different things than I thought I would. But right. Yeah, I ended up still being a teacher. So
right.
Yeah.
So Kim, so go back to the time that when you were young, and with all the knowledge you have now, all the knowledge, the strength, the power that you have now, and you go back to a time when you were little and you were feeling stressed or lost, what words of wisdom would you give your young self?
That's a very powerful question. I think the first thing I would do would be to hug my young self and really just be present with her. And ask her what she needs, because I don't think, maybe she doesn't know, but to ask her that and to be present with her and then just let the words flow from there. I mean, there's any number of things I could say to my younger self, but maybe just, I love you, you know, and it's all going to be okay in the long run, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. Great words of wisdom for your young self. So I know you're a very successful lady, but what are you still struggling with now?
Well, again, like I said, coming out of the cloud of losing my mom, for sure. And realizing that even though I have a lot of awareness about my thoughts, that there's still some subtle ones that sneak in that I'm still addressing, you know?
Right.
And it, again, it's not in all areas of my life or my work, but in certain areas, there were some, you know, I was just doing journaling with it the last couple of days of realizing, like, when it comes to like technology and having an issue that there's an underlying belief that technology is hard for me. And I'm like, but look at the evidence, look at all you've learned and look at all you're doing, you know, is that even true? So I have to like go through that process for myself. And it's an ever unfolding awareness of that. Because some of those thoughts can be very slippery and just kind of sneak in under the surface and you just buy it as reality without challenging it. And I'm like, well, that needs to be challenged, you know, because if I believe it's so hard, then I'm almost setting it up to be that way from the get-go.
Right. You know? You're setting it up to be true when it's not true.
Yeah. And I bought it. And I think what made me challenge it again and realize it was I had this Black Friday sale for a security system from a website. And it just, there was so much confusion. And I didn't realize I was trying to log in with the long login. And I was just having like a total meltdown. And I just went, what was that about? After it was over and it was all resolved, why did I react so strongly to that? Why did that stress me out so much? And so to just really have the space when that happens, to not only use the tools, but also go, okay, what's at the root of that? And why did that unfold that way?
Right. We all have our struggles.
Yeah.
So Kim, what would you like to share with our audience today?
What would I like to share? Take care of yourself. You are worth taking care of yourself. And it doesn't have to be hard and it doesn't have to take a long time, but you need to be proactive with it. That's what I would share. Yeah.
Oh, great. And so, Kim, thank you so much for our visits and our awesome talk today on Sprinting to Success podcast.
I'm Kim McIntyre, and I help people live with less stress and more joy. And I am Sprinting to Success with Esme Lawrence.
Thank you so much for listening and have an amazing day. Woohoo! Awesome. Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you for listening to Sprinting to Success with your host, Esme Lawrence. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes. For more information about Esme and to hear other episodes of the show, go to esmelawrence.com. The information in this podcast is not intended as a substitute for professional or medical treatment or advice. Always seek advice from your healthcare provider.